Some of you have heard me tell the rabbinical story about the day that the Israelites were freed from Egypt. It was a day that the angels in heaven had waited for almost from the moment when Joseph had closed his eyes in death. For from that moment on, the Israelites were at the whim of every Pharaoh. Generation after generation came, and with each passing one, it seemed as though the Israelites were sinking deeper and deeper into despair. The angels would go to God and ask why nothing was being done to help the chosen people, and God would listen to their complaints and then look at them and say, "Wait. Just wait." And so they did. But nothing ever seemed to happen. And then one day, when they were about to lose all hope, God came to them and said, "I have chosen Moses to lead my people into the promised land." There was something about the tone in God's voice that the angels knew they better not argue. But why on earth had he chosen Moses? I mean, Moses couldn't even put a coherent sentence together, and now he was being charged with the most important task of all history. But when the angels turned to God, God simply said, "Wait." And so the angels gathered around the fringes of heaven, and they began to watch the drama as it unfolded, and it was just as they had thought. Moses was totally inept. It wasn't that he hadn't tried. It was just that everything he tried eventually failed. And so the angels went back to God one more time to plead their case and to try to get God to understand that something had to happen. And God said, "Wait." And so they went back to their places. And as the Israelites began to cry and to moan under the increased weight of their burden, God finally came to them and said, "Tonight is the night." And the angels could hardly wait to see what was going to happen. And so they stood there peering down upon the earth as the angel of death flew over the Israelites' houses. And the firstborn son in every Egyptian home died. And then they watched as the Israelites gathered their possession and baked the unleavened bread. And when Moses gave the command to go, they watched as they began to leave Egypt. And wouldn't you know it, Noah led them the long way around and stopped at the Red Sea. The Egyptian army began to close in on them, and there wasn't a sound in heaven as they watched the army go closer and closer, and the Israelites have nowhere to go except into the sea. And then suddenly they saw Moses raise his arms, and the sea parted, and the Israelites formed column upon column. And as Moses stood there with his arms in the air, they walked through the sea as if on dry land. And the angels watched as the Egyptians followed them into the sea. And when the last Israelite had finally reached dry land, Moses lowered his arms, and the Egyptians went to a watery grave. And suddenly, the angels were laughing and singing and dancing and praising God and enjoying the whole entire scene. And they turned around to tell God how great it was, and God wasn't there. And so they went to find him. And when they finally located the Holy One, he was in the darkest corner of heaven, crying as if his heart had broken. And the angels didn't know what to do. So they stood there, watching God. And finally, it was Michael who said, "Lord, we don't understand. Your people are free, and the Egyptians are dead, and we thought you would be happy." And God looked up at them and said, "You don't understand, do you? The Egyptians are my people too. The Egyptians are my people too." There are times in our lives when that is the last thing we want to hear. When we have been hurt either intentionally or unintentionally by another human being, what we really want is for that person to suffer the consequences of their behavior, to hurt like we hurt, to suffer like we're suffering. We don't want to hear that that person is God's child too. What we want is the reassurance that God is on our side and our side alone. And how does God respond? Well, you see, there was this farmer. And he went out into his field and he sowed good seed. But while he was asleep, the enemy came and oversowed the field with weeds. So that when the wheat came up, the weeds were there too. And when his slaves realized what had happened, they went to him and said, "Sir, we'll go and we'll pull the weeds up." And the farmer says, "No, leave them alone. I'll straighten it out at the harvest." So what does all of this mean? It means that we worship a God who is prepared to judge each of us according to the intentions of our hearts. But we also worship a God who is filled with infinite patience and grace. And that is why we are told that on this side of heaven, the good and the bad, the evil and the holy will continue to grow side by side. And why is this? It is because through God's grace, it isn't until the harvest that the final judgment will be made. The Egyptians are my children too. The Egyptians, the terrorists, the abusers, the drunks, the the drug addicts, all those others. They're God's children too. So what are we supposed to do? Are we to pretend that the evil that's been perpetrated on us never happened? Should we just forgive and forget and go on and make merry? Are we supposed to continue staying with those that are trying to hurt us because they are God's people too? No. That's not what God is saying. But as God's people, we are called to respond differently to the evil and to the pain that surrounds us. And when that pain becomes too deep, when forgiveness seems impossible, when we don't know where to turn, when we don't know what to say anymore, then as people of faith, we can give it to God and move on with our lives. For the harvest will come, and God will decide. So who is that person that has hurt you so terribly? Who is the one you don't understand? Think about it. You don't have to understand. All you have to do is give them to God. When it all becomes so overwhelming, remember, just let go. Let God be your God. And allow God to be their God too. So hang in there. And believe. Thanks be to God. Amen.